So as we walk our way through this pandemic, this time of distress and crisis, it becomes understandable that we all might begin to focus on the points of view of the secular media and the world around us, the press and what they're saying, and the experts and what they're saying. It's easy to forget, it's easy to forget that God is at work in us even in this pandemic, even through the circumstances of the pandemic. Whatever caused them, for whatever reason they're here, God wants to use these things to create in us a heart like His. So as we interact with our greater community and the greater community that does not know God or has not submitted to God or has not found a relationship with God yet, they don't know this. You and I know this. I was reminded this week, I know this. You know, but we don't like it. And I'm not saying you have to like it. But I am saying that we are here in the midst of a crisis in our culture, in our society, with our neighbors, with health, with life and death, and it's impacting us, and God wants to use it to create in us a deeper character than we can possibly fathom. We, unlike the secular world we live in, we can have this orientation, this focus, that God is going to work through even these difficult circumstances to His glory in your life and in my life. Understand, or even having a little bit of a clue that this will help others is important. To that end, it's time for us to think about how God is working in us. Years ago, I was taught this pattern. I saw this in a teaching and then applied it to my life. I was probably barely 20 years old. And this teaching has been around. This pattern has been taught by many people. Sometimes they'll use 4 or 6 or 7 different points in this principle found in Scripture for how God uses difficulty to grow us up in faith. As we continue to wait for the new normal. Remember 2 weeks to flatten the curve? Then we'll get back to normal. And then, you know, once the vaccines are available, then we'll get back to normal and so forth. I mean, we've all been through this. We understand. But we're waiting for the new normal. We're waiting for whatever the reset is. And we keep waiting. And it's sort of like Narnia. It's always winter and never Christmas. But as I was thinking about waiting for the new normal, I thought it would be helpful for us to step back and refocus on how God uses crisis to grow us up. So these are the six phases of faith that God causes us to grow through. Did you know that God uses a very predictable pattern? It's very predictable. You can take this, you can take anybody in the Bible, and you can set these 6 points up, and you can outline their life through it. If you don't understand the process, you'll get discouraged when problems arise, when difficulties arise. You'll wonder, why is this happening to me? You know, it's not just the pandemic that's happening to us. You have your ongoing personal difficulties, do you not? I know I do. You can take the pandemic away and there's still a half a dozen things I'm dealing with and 2 really major things in my life. That's just me. How about you? But if you understand and cooperate with God and what He's doing in your life by faith, you'll instead develop great strength through this process. It's like stretching a muscle and exercising that muscle to get it stronger. I don't know if you've ever, you know, worked out at a gym or had a home gym or, you know, worked out with somebody that was really, really a workout person. They'll be working out, they'll be pumping the iron, and, you know, maybe you're spotting for them. It used to, back in the day, no longer, you know, it's, but they'll go, one more, and I ask, what's going on with this one more thing? He said, well, you have to sort of do it till the muscle gets, the fibers in the muscle and the cells in the muscle sort of, they sort of pop, they sort of get torn a little bit, and then they grow. Doesn't sound like any fun. But this guy, he looked like, you know, Arnold's big brother. It works. The stress can cause us to grow if we use it for that purpose. So the very first phase is the dream phase, having a dream. God gives you a dream, an idea, a goal, an ambition. Every great accomplishment first begins as a God-given dream in someone's mind and heart. What are your dreams? Have you forgotten? Maybe you need to go back and revisit. Some of the dreams, some of us are a little older, some of the dreams have been fulfilled in our lives. I had the dream of finishing college or graduate school. Okay, check, check, check. Having kids, check. Having a career. Maybe you're still looking forward to those things, but what is your dream? Every great accomplishment begins there. God giving us a dream. You know, Dan's goal is see, he's old, he can't hear as well, so he says things out loud sometimes, but it's being on the beach with a Mai Tai or a...
You actually heard that?
No. Yes, I did. I'm very easily distractible. You know that by now, so... Maybe you have a personal vision statement. What's your personal vision statement? And it's based on the dream that you have. Do you still have a goal, still have a dream? Maybe you're in your 80s, 90s. Do you have a goal? Do you have a dream? Listen to the word of God, Ephesians 3:20. God is able to do far more than we would ever dare to ask or even dream of, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, or hopes. Isn't that great? Well, I have some pretty big hopes, God. I have some pretty big dreams. Higher? It says higher. I didn't write that. I'll use the example of Moses as we look at these phases. Moses had a dream that the oppression of his people would end, that they would be free, that they would be set free. That was his dream, his purpose. Let me read that again, Ephesians 3:20, Amplified Bible this time. Now to him who was able to carry out his purpose and to super abundantly more than all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our greatest prayers, hopes, or dreams, according to his power that is in work within us. Just in case you needed the emphasis. I understand wanting to give up. I understand it very well. Giving up produces nothing. At the end of the day, you know, you look back on your life, well, I gave up. Who wants that on their tombstone? Who wants that to be their legacy, their heritage? The people in their lives to look back, yeah, they were doing great. It looked like there might be a breakthrough. It was really a tough time, but they gave up. According to his power that is at work within us. His power is working within you, and you access that simply by faith. Number two, first is the dream. Number two, phase two is a decision. A dream is worthless until you decide to do something about it. For every 10 dreamers, this is statistically analyzed, I'm making that up. But anyway, but for every 10 dreamers, there's one that makes a decision. It's something like that. How often do you have to make that decision? Every day. Every day you redecide. You know, this is one of the great things about Alcoholics Anonymous. It's like an everyday thing. You go, every day I'm deciding to be sober. Today, right now, today, I've not undecided this. This is the moment of truth where you decide to invest your time, your money, your energy, your reputation, your security into the dream. I don't think she would mind me saying this. Remember Kelly Bennett used to come to church here? Kelly Bennett? Yeah. Kelly Bennett invented the bump it. You know, women, what that is? You put it in your hair, it makes your back of your hair poof up. She invented that. She was a hairdresser. She invented it. She'd put her hands in the hair of the women she was working on and form this hair bubble, and they would say, your hand's not there. when I'm at home, what do I do? And she thought, she invented the bumpet. By faith, she took everything she had. I'm not saying do this. Do this if you feel God led. She took every penny she had, every line of credit, every credit card, and maxed it out to have them produced and then have them advertised. And nobody was buying them. She finally called her advertiser and said, why aren't you on MTV? I wanted this on MTV. Well, this is for old people. She said, I want this on MTV. So they put it on MTV. Boom, she's a millionaire. It wasn't instant. It wasn't overnight. It was months and I think years. And then, boom, it happened. She put everything into it, her security. If you want to walk on water, you have to get out of the boat. Right? And some of us are going to do just like Peter, and we're going to sink. I wonder if Peter went under and came back up. the picture is like he's just slowly sinking or something, but it may have been, you know, boom, and he pops back up. He's going, help. Okay, come on. Here's your hand. You're up. Listen to James, verse 6, chapter 1, you must believe and not doubt. A double-minded man, woman is unstable in all his or her ways. Boy, that sounds like me a lot of the time. But if you decide not to doubt, that's your spirit. When you make a decision, that's what your spirit does. It decides, it creates. When you decide, okay, I'm done doubting. I'm moving forward. So Moses, he defended, he wanted to liberate the Israelites, and he defended, and then one Israelite that was being beaten by an Egyptian defended him, and then ended up killing the Egyptian, and then being found as a murderer, he got banished. There's his dream. My dream is to help somebody, help my people. And what happens is he gets sent packing for 40 years. And that's phase 3 now, delay. There's always a time lapse before your dream becomes a reality. Have you noticed? Always a time lapse. God uses his waiting period to teach you to trust him, to breathe deeply and go, okay, God, let's do this again. It's another day. Let's do this again. Remember, delay is not denial, and maturity is understanding the difference between no and not yet. God, did you say no? I'm not hearing no, so it's going to be not yet until I hear no. God says these things I plan won't happen right away, slowly, instantly. Surely the time approaches when the vision will be fulfilled. If it seems slow, do not despair. It says, for these things will surely come to pass. Just be patient. I am so tired of being patient. It goes on, they will not be overdue a single day. That's Habakkuk, that's the Living Bible. They will not be overdue a single day. So Moses spent those 40 years as a shepherd in Midian, all the time his people were in bondage, 40 years. He had a vision, he had a dream, he had a focus. And then there's this delay, 40 years, and God sent Moses back to Egypt to liberate his people. Phase 4 is difficulty. Well, isn't delay a difficulty? Not now. Not like the difficulties that come. What are your difficulties today? What are the things that are stopping you from moving forward today? The problems that start popping up. You have a dream, you have a vision, you have a delay, and now difficulties. The two most common types of difficulties are critics and circumstances. Some of you have a spiritual gift of criticism, right? You know what's wrong with somebody's idea before they're done saying it. Maybe you have a relative like, maybe you've been guilty of that. Maybe I've been guilty of that. Don't ask my staff. They will confess my sins. Hey, Gary, why don't we put the 24 hours of prayer online? I'm going, I don't know. It's a big change. Yeah, it's a lot of trouble. What if nobody does it anyway? People will sleep in. They will. I'm going to wake up in the middle of the night and go to my computer. No, I don't know. thought about it, prayed about it, slept on it, called Clint, hey, Clint, do it. He gets it done. He had a vision. He got it done. Critics, circumstances, sometimes, don't worry, it's all part of God's plan. You see, the difficulty is part of God's plan. If it was easy, we wouldn't remember. We just start assuming it's supposed to be that way. Listen to J.B. Phillips, 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7. Listen, quote, at the present, you may be temporarily harassed by all kinds of trials. Well, duh, right? All kinds of trials. It says, quote, this is no accident. It happens to prove your faith, which is infinitely more valuable than gold. What do you want, $1 million of gold or $1 million of faith? Which would you take? I know that my reflex is the gold, right? But that runs out. $1 million worth of faith never runs out. So Pharaoh was Moses' critic, and the harsh labor that was poured onto the Israelites were the difficult circumstances. Number five, by the way, as you're thinking, as you're going, yeah, Gary, I kind of remember this happening to me. If that's you, I just want you to kind of catalog that in your brain. And some of you, a couple of you maybe need to share that today at the end of this message, how God has given you a dream and how it's gone before it was fulfilled. Phase five is a dead end. What? A dead end? First there's difficulty, now there's a dead end. There's a dead end. Your situation will deteriorate from difficult to impossible. You'll find yourself backed into a corner. You reach the end of your rope. The situation looks hopeless. Have you been there? I think we all have. But listen to me, congratulations, you are on the edge of a miracle. Amen. Trust God. Amen. So God didn't put you in that situation so that you can go to heaven and go, yeah, remember that? Yeah, I was just testing, you were, you know, nothing helped. No, it's like, do you see the fulfillment? Did you see the fulfillment? The word of God again, 2 Corinthians this time, chapter 1, 8, and 9, at this time, we were completely overwhelmed. This is the Apostle Paul talking about his situation and the apostles' situation. At this time, we were completely overwhelmed. In fact, we told ourselves that this was the end. Yet we now believe we had this sense of impending disaster so that we might learn to trust not on ourselves, but in God who can raise the dead. What's the purpose here? Waiting for this miracle. We had this sense of impending disaster. Have you ever had in your life a sense of impending disaster? Like the last 2 years, maybe? I don't know why I'm picking that time frame, but maybe you've had a sense of impending disaster for the culture, for the economy, for your health. God gave us this sense of impending disaster so that we might learn to trust not in ourselves, but in the God who can raise the dead. So Moses again, the Israelites were finally allowed to leave, and then Pharaoh changed his mind. You saw the movie, right? Maybe you read the book, right? And Pharaoh changed his mind, sent his army to kill and re-enslave those he doesn't kill. And they're fleeing from his presence to run right into the Red Sea. Nowhere to go. No way out. Dead end. And then number six, phase six is deliverance. God provides a supernatural answer. Miraculously, things fall into place. God loves to turn crucifixions into resurrections. Folks, this is a literal truth with Jesus, and it's a metaphorical truth for your life and my life. How have you been crucified? Where's the dead end? Is it the sea at your back and the army running towards you? Is there nowhere to go? Is there absolutely nothing you can do? Try to think of all the things you can do when you're nailed to a cross. It ain't much. God loves to turn crucifixions into resurrections so you can see his greatness. Psalm 27:13, I expect the Lord to deliver me. Wow, that's faith, you see. I expect the Lord to deliver me once again so I will see his goodness to me. And guess what? Those around you get to see it too. Might be a small thing. Might be something insignificant. I have a friend who was in graduate school, and she had gone back after having a family and decided, you know, I need to finish. She went back. She was very close to getting her credential to teach, and she's sitting, and the one thing she could not get through was Algebra 2. This is the third time through. She's taken the final, and her brain's not. Quadratic equations, you know, all that just wasn't working. Oh God, I need your help. The help came. She's sitting there. It's that answer or that answer. And she just felt like, okay, that looks like God's highlighting it. I don't know how to explain it, she said. And so she takes that and she checks that box, right? Her son said, so God helped you cheat? Is that? No, it was like, okay, I did the best I could, and it just, I wasn't sure. And so she passed. Passed the class, got her degree. And of course, with Moses, you know the story, he parts the Red Sea. They walk across on dry land. See, that is absolutely impossible. There is no naturalistic explanation of how that can happen. That's a miracle. So here's the exercise for you. Here's your homework assignment, if you will. You have these six things, this pattern that it's nearly universal. Write it down, and if you haven't been taking notes right now, this is on YouTube. You can go through, you can go to the end of the message, and you can look for these six things and write them down, and then plug that into your life. Ask yourself in God, is this dream from you? If the answer is yes, walk through these next steps. Have you made a decision to pursue your God-given dream? If the answer is yes, has there been a delay? Is it beyond your control? Have difficulties arisen, critics and circumstances? Have you hit the dead end? Many times this is when we stop and give up and let the dream die. Now is not the time to give up. It is at this point that we are to press into God, and then deliverance comes. By the way, sometimes you give up. Because you see the army, you see the Red Sea, you see no way out. You go, okay, well, God, you led me this far. But when the deliverance comes, do you have eyes to see and faith to believe that that's what's happening in front of you? What demonic army are you facing today? What's the Red Sea that has you trapped? What has to happen for the deliverance to come? If you think through your life with this paradigm, with this outline of this narrative, the odds are really, really high that you can fill in the blanks from your personal experience. I've talked about many of the circumstances in my own life where this pattern has been fulfilled. It might be that right now you have been deeply hurt by the pandemic. Some of us had relationships destroyed because of the added weight and pressure and pain that made it too difficult for one party or both to continue. It may be that your job, your life's work has been negatively impacted or even destroyed. It may be that a loved one has hurt themselves through bad decisions because of this season of stress and this pandemic. I'm sure there are so many stories as there are people listening to this message of deliverance being needed. Where are you? This is what I've been, what's been ringing in my ears this week. God is not done. He's not done. The disaster is not the end. The difficulty is not the end. Deliverance can still come. What will it look like? I don't know. But you know when it happens. I've told this story many times. I could fill in these six things. God called me to the ministry. I knew that from the time I was young. He called me to the ministry, and I'd been in the ministry, and now I was trying to provide for a family, and so I had various jobs, most of which I did not really feel called to. And but, you know, you have to work. You have to put food on the table and pay for the roof over your head. And I'm in Riverside County. It's August. I'm driving an old car. The air conditioning's broke. I'm in a suit to go make a presentation to sell a photocopier to a company. And all this was part of the plan to, okay, I'll go get back to school, I'll get back to seminary, I'll finish seminary, and then I'll be more employable as a pastor. And I'm driving along, and suddenly it all becomes crystal clear that it's ridiculous. I'm going to somehow make enough money doing this job, which I wasn't going to be able to go to graduate school with four young kids at home. And I'll be in my mid-50s at that point, and I will I'm going to get a job as a pastor. Who's going to hire me at that point? Okay, God, I've been delusional. I've known other people that were pastors. They were delusional. I'm one of those now. So, you know, hey, help me to be the best layman in the church I can be, but I just give this to you. I gave the dream to him. Just laid it down. Absolutely. I need to find a better job to make a better living. And gave up. 2 weeks later, the phone rings. The senior pastor of the church that I had been on staff with, somebody that we had been interns together, and we had not always gotten along. He calls and he says, "How would you like to come back on staff?" What? You mean with pay? Not for free. You're not talking about no, we want you to be able to eat. What's your story? When did you hit the wall? When was your back to the sea and the demonic army was coming for you and God gave you deliverance? What's your story? Again, let me say, God is not done. The story isn't over. Maybe you're still waiting for the miracle, and just ask yourself, what is it that God has directed me to do? What does faithfulness in my circumstance look like? Have you followed his directions, even poorly, even with error, even with no full understanding of why you're doing what you're doing, but you're waiting for the miracle? So Jesus, you can put Jesus, just fill in, take the outline and put Jesus in here. What was the dream? The dream was the Messiah was to come. That dream had been poured out through prophets for hundreds of years. Personally, Jesus was the boy in the temple, astounding his scholars. Maybe his parents told him, you know, the angels told us you're the one. What would that do to your head? Amazing things surrounding his birth. Phase two, the clearest moment of decision was Jesus being baptized. Some of you need to make that decision today. See, it wasn't only the good and righteous people that got baptized. It was the lowlifes, the people who were repenting of their old life, that they got baptized and going, Jesus, you're getting baptized? You've been good. I have to fulfill all righteousness, he said. Decision. The dream of the Messiah, the decision to be baptized, the delay. All right, he's baptized. What's the first thing that happens to Jesus when he rises out of the water? John the Baptist, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and the Holy Spirit leads him into the wilderness, Matthew tells us, and there he's tempted for 40 days and 40 nights by the devil. That's a delay. And then he comes back and can you hear me now? Oh, okay, there we go. Somebody didn't want you to hear this, but then Jesus picks his disciples. He picks his disciples. That's a delay. He picks these 12 guys to train and to nurture and to deploy and to monitor and to send out into the world. The training, that's going to take 3 years. That's a delay. And so delay, delay, delay. And Jesus, even at one point, with his head in his hands, how long do I have to put up with this generation? He's talking about his disciples. John or Luke's gospel, chapter 9, verse 41, if you need a reference. Phase 4, the difficulties, critics and circumstances, Pharisees conspiring to kill him, attacking him, calling him all kinds of ugly names publicly, talking about trying to cancel somebody. He's a bastard. Why are you listening to him? That's literally what they said of him. All the time, plotting to kill him. Jesus gives a great sermon, and you go from 5,000 people following him to 12. I've had sermons like that. I thought, nobody's coming back. Nobody's coming back. They're not coming back. But Jesus actually did 12 people, and again, sitting, I just picture him with his head in his hands, and he looks up, are you guys going to leave too? And Peter, in his gifting, Lord, where else would we go? You have the words of eternal life. John 6, 68. Difficulties arise. Phase 5, the dead end. There is no greater dead end than the crucifixion. The dead end, the devil had to be laughing with glee. You know the story. He's pinned to the cross. His life is draining from his body. You talk about, and to the point of death. Real death is the ultimate death of dreams, isn't it? Just know that even when God is not finished with us, let me try that again, even then, God is not finished with us. And he had not been finished with Jesus. As Jesus was raised from the dead, we are told, so shall we be. His destiny is our destiny. And then deliverance, the resurrection, Easter Sunday, the ultimate deliverance. So you have your homework assignment. Look at these six things, plug them into your life. Look at your circumstances with relationships and career and finances and health and all of these things and just fill in the blanks. But right now, I just want to take a moment and see if there's anybody else here that would like to share. You don't have to go through each six of the 6 points. You can, but you know, maybe a couple of the points and then the deliverance. Anybody here that would like to share?
Well, this is an old story, but as Pastor was sharing it, I thought, that was my life. I was in my 30s, and I was a preschool teacher working part-time, and I just had this dream of being a director of a preschool. But the director of my preschool was a really nice lady, and she was only maybe 10 years older than I, 15. And I thought, so I just put it on the back burner. Well, one summer, I went over to the elementary school. I'm in a Christian school system. My kids were in a Christian school system. I went over to the elementary school, and the secretary knew what I did and said, could you be a preschool director? And I said, I could, but, you know, I work for Loretta Reeser at Monta Vista. And she said, just stay right here. And she ran and got the principal, and the principal talked to me about starting a new preschool. Mm-hmm. Well, it was almost September. How could I tell Loretta I was going to leave? So, you know, I had some real struggles. Was that even ethical to do? But long story short, I accepted it. So we opened in November. So this is a late year for preschool to be starting. We opened in November. We had 6 kids a day, to make this not too long. The next fall, we had 72 kids a day. That year, I was teacher, I was director, I was painter. Phil was installing blinds. That's probably how my back got hurt. I carried things back and forth. I put together things. Phil put together things. But it was a real success. A couple years later, that director was working for me as a teacher, as well as a couple other women from the other preschool. Plus, the church that we had the preschool at wanted to build a building for us. And so we expanded long. A few years later, we opened an infant toddler center. The thing just exploded, and God blessed it. And then there was a time where it weighed too much on me, and I needed to step back, but that was after 11 years, and I retired. My kids were through college, and that was what God had wanted me to do, so we could help provide that. So anyway, that's my story.
Thank you, woman of God. Who else?
Well, this is just totally off the top of my head, but God blessed me long before I knew he was blessing me. And I was born into a farming family at a time when farming was really terrible. And that was through the late 40s, early 50s, and into the 60s. And I found myself as a young man at about 26 years old when my finances in shambles as a farmer, and didn't look like I had a future at all. And one day, I was trying to figure out what to do with my life. And I went into the Merced County Library and spent the day in there just kind of snooping around, looking at things and trying to figure things out. And I got this idea that I should be a farm realtor. Since I love farming so much and love the land so much, why not do what you really love, help other people acquire and sell properties? So in 1970, I became a realtor. And times were tough, and it took a long time to get established. But I spent a 51-year career with that, and God blessed me so much. And it just was an incredible time, an incredible journey. It wasn't without difficulty. It wasn't without heartache and without a lot of pain at times. But it was all totally worth it. And the last probably 15, 20 years of my career, every day was fun. I got to deal with people's finances, with being honored by representing wealthy people that trusted me, and it meant so much. And I've just got God to thank for that. Just thank you, Lord. Amen.
Lovely, lovely. So you had delivery, yes. You had deliverance from the depths of things not working out. Beautiful, beautiful. Someone else?
So I, too, had one of those God-cheating moments. I was working at Walgreens. I had been a stay-at-home mom for many, 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 many years. And right before that, I was in college, and I was really, really good at it. Straight A's, with kids, 4.0, all that lovely stuff. And then I stopped, and I was home, probably about 18 years. So my brain was not being tested. So I go back to work, and they're like, hey, you want to become a pharmacy tech? Just take this class, take this test, and you're hired. My brain could not absorb it. I could not take it in. It was devastating, because, you know, intelligence was huge for me. So I was sitting in the class. I was just crying when I'd leave. I went to go take my test. I was like, okay, God, this is you, this is you, this is you. And I sat there, and I prayed. Every question that I couldn't understand, I was like, okay, A, B, C, or D. And I would get it, and I would know. And I'm like, okay, okay, okay. And we've come to find out, you find out your results right then and there. And I passed.
Ooh, beautiful. Yay. Jackie, did you want to share?
I graduated college 2017. At that point, I did it. I'm done. I got my first job as a developer. 3 months in, I got laid off. Awful, 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 awful. Went back to the castle. 2020, COVID hit. Castle shut down. No job. Same year, they wanted us to move out of the house. No job, have no idea what's happening. I told God, God, you told us that you're gonna take care of us. I am counting on you because I have nothing. October 2020, I got an offer for a job. Work from home. Everything else provided. Good benefits. Good pay. And then 2021 of February, I said, God, We need to move out. This is our budget. We have a dog. We want to stay in Cambria. Don't know how you're going to get that happen. God gave us a house on our budget with the dog and everything else. And then my brother graduated nursing and passed. And everything's been so good since then. And I just want to thank the Lord. So keep these promises and actually call him out for it because he can handle it.
So piggybacking on my sister, yeah. So you already know I graduated from nursing school. Woo! Praise God. So dream, right? Number one is dream. Dream was, I mean, to be able to work, to sustain, to, you know, we need money to eat and all that. So I graduated the nursing school in the Philippines, right? That was my dream. Well, that was my mom's dream, but it became my dream along the way.
Yay, mom!
Honesty, man, honesty. But, yeah, okay. Delay. They wouldn't let me take the NCLEX. And you all know this story. You all have been with me as family here in the Vineyard Church, which is really, really nice. That's the delay. They wouldn't let me take the board exam. So difficulty was I had to take up the nursing program again. And so I had to take my biologies. I had to take everything again, try to get into the nursing program. And that's where the dead end hit me, where I applied one time, and they said, like, I didn't get in. And I was like, Lord, is this really where you want me to be? Is this really, like, my profession, my calling, my career, or my, my calling is leading worship, but my vocation, you know? And a pastor knows this. I went to him crying, like, is this really, like, I told God, this is the end. I'm going to apply one more time. And if I don't get accepted, Lord, there's something else you have for me. That's my dead end. I love dead ends. Why? It's because that's when we stop doing what we can do and just let it all go. I love dead ends. And that's when I got accepted to the program. And that's where, after that, deliverance comes. Now I'm working full-time on a night shift, on a hospital, earning what I dreamed to be earning because God has been faithful to me and my family. So never stop trusting God on that.
Amen.
And, of course, trusting the family that God gives you, like the church. Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you, Josh. And Josh he had to appeal that last decision, you see, to get in there. Speaking of nurses.
I just felt impressed to share this. This is just one story that God just brought to me. I went to Penn State back east, didn't pass boards. I have get test anxiety so bad. Each time I took it, I did worse and worse and worse. Went out of anything, was working at JFK as a ticket agent at the airlines, had taken boards 3 times. This guy came up and I saw a doctor and I said, oh, what kind of doctor are you? Oh, I was, you know, that I can't pass boards. And he goes, you know, I taught dental school at NYU. I'm a good judge of character and you should be a nurse. And I almost started crying. He gave me this number, and this is random, in New York, JFK at the ticket line, you know, gave me a number of this testing thing that they do for nursing that is like 100% pass. So I ended up taking it. I had already taken boards 3 times, didn't pass. So I said, God, I did amazing, like, flashcards, everything, and then I said, this is it. If I don't do it, I'm not going to do this. And God provided that for me. So don't ever give up on your dreams.
And she's been a nurse for a long time, 25 years. Beautiful. My own soul. Okay. All right. Well, we serve a God who brings deliverance. He brings deliverance. So why don't you stand with me?